Australia on the Triple M network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner.
Good morning. Well, it's Sam Dastyari again, two nights in a row filling in for Luke. Luke is taking a very, very well-earned holiday and break for the next 2 weeks. And in what will once again no doubt go down as the worst management decision that Triple M have made, they have entrusted his show to a disgraced former politician, none other than myself, Sam Dastyari. But we have a huge team here with us. We've got Lockie on the controls.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey. We've got Jess. Jess, can you hear us?
Loud and clear.
And we've got Evelyn. Say hi, Evelyn.
Hey, everybody.
Okay, now, Jess, how did we go? How was night one last night?
I've already had a couple of meetings with HR, but...
Yeah.
But we're okay. Aside from that, fine.
Look, I have to say, it got pretty loose in the middle of the night. I think at around 3:30, we started having a good discussion about, you know, people were calling up with their own stories about people who cheated and cheaties and cheaters. And it turned out, no, in fact, that people just kept calling up to brag about how they'd gotten away with it. And, well, it says a lot about our listeners. Now, 1-3-3-5-3, phones are hot all night, 1-3-3-5-3. There is a lot to go through tonight. But just a couple of things that I just wanted to say on the answer is, now, we still have, and it's still running strong, is the flow-on story regarding the tragedy in Bourke Street last week. Horrendous events there regarding a terrorist. But there seems to be a big debate at the moment about whether or not it's something that should actually be called a terrorist, or was it rather just someone with a mental illness? Now, we've got the Prime Minister who's come out and been pretty clear that in his opinion, it is a terrorist and it is a terrorist act. He's highlighting that the Melbourne man, Hassan Khalif Shaya Ali, was acting as a terrorist when he did what he did. Others, though, are saying, look, this is just a politician playing politics, that they're just sick and tired of people coming up and making kind of political opinions and trying to turn these kinds of tragedies into political events. Who's right? Has the Prime Minister gone too far? Is this just politicians trying to play a little bit of politics right now? I've got a quote here from Father Rod Bauer, who's an Anglican priest, a minister rather, who says, "Sir Scott Morrison, if your name is Gasagoulas and you kill 6 people in Bourke Street because God told you to, you have a mental illness. If your name is Ali and you kill 1 person in Bourke Street because God told you to, you're a terrorist." Again, highlighting, is it terrorism or is it just mental illness? 1-3-3-5-3. I'm very, very keen to hear from you. We had a fair few calls about it last night. It got pretty heated. Lockie, I'm very keen to talk a little bit about schoolies tonight.
Schoolies was a good time. I'm sure a lot of listeners out there have kids going, or will go.
Schoolies was a great time. But Gold Coast, Brisbane is telling us, the news up there are telling us that Gold Coast has changed. A little quote we got here from Channel 9.
It's now latte and a selfie in the morning.
Arrests are down.
People don't want to become too messy.
Many school leavers are drinking less so they can hit the cafes and beaches.
Wake up the next morning and have a smashed avocado on toast.
A smashed avocado on toast. Is that what schoolies has become? Is nothing immune from millennials anymore? But I remember, look, I went to schoolies twice. I think there's a name for that. Just, you know what they call people who go to schoolies twice?
Tallies.
Allegedly they do. 1-3-3-5-3. Did you go to schoolies? Have you been to schoolies? Or have one of your kids gone to schoolies recently? Look, I went almost 20 years ago. Has it changed? Is it different now? But also, you know, is it a lot calmer now? Is it not what it used to be? Is it gone are the days where it was about, you know, big drinking and surfers paradise? Now, we might have some people out there who actually live there, might have people who actually live on the kind of Gold Coast surfers. Has it changed? Have you seen it become different? Or have your kids or anyone you know gone in the past few years? And perhaps someone's calling who may actually want to go. 1-3-3-5-3. Now, today the news kind of also broke that the government has cut $323,000 from the charity food bank as we lead into Christmas. And I've got to say, that's a pretty kind of worrying thing. $323,000 cut going into Christmas from the charity food bank. But what I want to hear and what I'm interested in is, has anyone out there actually been helped by the food bank charity or by any other charity themselves? Again, you can come anonymous. We don't have to have your name. We don't have to know your details. 133353. Have you benefited from one of these charities, especially over Christmas time? And what's your take on the fact that $323,000 is being cut from the food bank charity? They've actually got the food bank provides pantry essentials for 710,000 Australians impacted by natural disasters and economic hardships through its Key Staples program, which sees the organization work with manufacturers, suppliers, and transporters to provide rice, flour, cereals, and canned goods to 2,600 charities and 1,750 schools across the country. It's unbelievable that it's having that kind of a funding cut at this time of year. But look, I'm keen to hear from you. 133353. Have you benefited from this charity? Have you benefited from any charity? Or the other thing I'm interested in is, does anyone have a story? And again, we can do this anonymously, of when you've been ripped off by a charity. You know, are there charities out there that, you know, people know a little bit about the inside of, know how they work, know what's going on with it, are able to tell us that that what's really going on behind the scenes? 133353. And finally, one thing I'm very keen to talk about, right? Very keen to talk about is, you know, Britain's youngest Euromillionaire winner, Jane Park, who's 23, is offering to pay a man £60,000 a year to date her after splitting from her footballer boyfriend. £60,000 a year to date her. Now, is it changed? Does it make it okay because it's a woman doing it instead of a man? Because if it was the other way around, if it was a man who turned around and said that he was prepared to pay a woman $60,000 a year to date her, you know, there'd be social media uproar, there'd be anger. Is it different if it's a woman doing it? But also, is there anything wrong with that at all? Jane Park, she's 23, she's from Scotland. She's launched a website where potential dates can apply to be a boyfriend in the hope that they can find love. And the boyfriend will be given £60,000 in annual allowance to wine and dine one of Scotland's youngest national lottery winners. Now, a source told the Mirror in the UK that Miss Park has become worried about people's motives since winning her fortune. I have to say, Miss Park, if you're worried about people's, you know, if you're worried about their motives in dating you because you're rich, perhaps giving them $60,000 a year to date or £60,000 a year isn't the way to do it. But is it right? Is it wrong? 133353. Across the country on the Triple M network, you're on the Night Shift with Sam Dastyari. Now, 46-year-old Michael Rogers, the trolley man down in Victoria, emerged as a hero after the terrorist incidents last week. But not everyone thinks he is the hero that the suburb portrayed him to be. I note that quite a few people, including the Victorian Police Commissioner, has come out and said, hey, this guy was actually making the situation, or potentially making the situation worse. That, you know, when there's police on the scene, that innocent people, bystanders, shouldn't be getting involved in these kinds of activities. I got to say, this makes me angry. You know, why can't you have and keep this? Got this nice, beautiful story, a story of redemption of a homeless man who's obviously dealt with issues his whole life, going out of his way to do what he can to try and help, you know, someone who's in need. And yet you end up having the police and others come out, they slam him, they say, oh, look, he may have created some danger, he may have made the situation worse. And you know what's even worse than that has been that so many people have come out in the media and start talking about this homeless man's history, that, yeah, he'd been in jail before, he'd obviously had, you know, some difficult periods in his life. No shit, he's homeless on the streets of Melbourne. Of course there's a history there. You don't just wake up one day and end up being a homeless man living on the streets of Sydney. 133353, I want to hear your views on this. Doesn't this bloke deserve redemption? Now, there's been a online fundraising for him. over $110,000 has already been raised in the past few days, and that number is just going up and up. But yet you've got these wowsers out there, you've got these people, these party poopers out there saying, oh, look, he's not really a hero, and look at his history, and look at the horrible things he did in the past that led him to go to jail. Well, yes, yeah, he's obviously had a difficult, messed up history. He's homeless on the streets of Melbourne. You don't just get up one day and that happened. Of course, there was a series of events that led him there. But what happened to having that story of redemption? What about that story of people being given second chances? Same time, there's a story running at the moment that the drug mule, Rene Lawrence, who was convicted in Bali for bringing drugs across there, she is looks like about to be released and probably likely to come back to Australia. Now, does it extend so far as someone who's been convicted as being a drug mule? Do they deserve a second chance? Do they deserve to be forgiven for their past and be allowed to kind of be welcomed back into the brace of Australia? Or no, is it too late? 133353. We want to talk tonight about second chances. Were you given a second chance? Have you given someone a second chance? It might have been just in a relationship. It might have been an ex-boyfriend. It might have been an ex-girlfriend, an ex-partner. Someone, did it work? Did giving them the second chance actually work? Did it end up being the right thing to do? Did someone give you a second chance when you hit rock bottom? And did other people deserve it as well? I mean, you know, do we go so far as say, well, if you're a drug mule and someone who's been convicted for something doing, you know, pretty serious crime, once you've done the time, should you be forgiven? 133353. You're on the night shift with Sam Dastiari filling in for Luke Bonner across the country on the Triple M network. Now, we've got Terry, you there?
Yeah, mate. How are you?
I'm living the dream. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. The weather's getting a bit warm, which is quite good.
Okay, now where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Albury in New South Wales.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, of course. That's a gorgeous part of the world.
Yeah, I was listening to you speak about the food banks and so on.
Yeah, so they've just got about $300,000 of their funding cut.
Right, yeah. Well, what I've got to say is that in Albury here in Lavington and all that, we've got a lot of mental health patients, highly medicated. They're finding it hard to look after themselves. They're not getting the support that they need, and they do go to these food banks. Now, I've seen a lot of that stuff that they bring, and I've also been to a food bank with a friend of mine. And a lot of the actual goods that they're receiving... some of them are dairy products are bitter and like 6-7 months out of date.
Oh, really?
You've got certain other things. There was like a corn soup sort of thing. It was frozen in a sealed plastic where you just put it in some hot water and heat it up. That was, I think, like 6 years out of date. And this is what... And
6 years out of that. That's not a small period. That's not just that we didn't check the date. That's a serious kind of...
That's pretty serious. Now, also, I mean, we've got mental health patients going to these food banks and they're highly medicated and they're not... Their taste buds, everything, it's not normal. And a lot of them are getting diarrhea, they're getting upset tummies, they're getting, like, just feeling not right. And I don't think... you know, they don't want to whinge about it because they don't want it to stop. But still, I think that it should be a little bit better for those people because, I mean, we can't make more sicknesses and then that's going to cost the taxpayers more money.
Now, Terry, can I ask you, what keeps you awake at this time of night? Are you working? Are you at home? Are you...
I've just absolutely got nothing to do. And I sit here and I get on Facebook and I listen to the radio.
I heard. Do you normally listen to Luke?
What's that, sorry?
Do you normally listen to Luke?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Not often, only every now and then when I've got the radio on. So
He claims that he's on holiday at the moment, but none of us believe him.
Right.
We think he's definitely listening in at home. Luke, we know you're listening. Hey, we love
Luke.
You. Yeah, that's right. We know you're listening. We know we love you. Terry, thank you so much for calling us. 133353. You there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Yourself?
I'm living the dream. How are you?
Oh, yeah, getting there. Can't complain too much, eh?
Fantastic. Now, you want to talk about food bank.
Yeah, I did. I was just I was listening to the previous caller there, and I was just having a yarn to, I think it was Jess who answered the phone there. We, many years ago, probably looking about 10, 12, 14 years ago, my old folks had to actually resort to the Salvation Army for some food at Christmas time. And
they're amazing people, aren't they, the Salvation Army?
They are. They were wonderful. What they did for us is they actually helped us out and gave us two legs of ham for just to put some food on the table. And they weren't out of date or nothing. They were in that season, in that current season there. And those two legs of ham, they lasted us nearly 2 months just to get us through that actual season, because you know, my mum was on parenting payments, and my dad was on minimum wage full time work, but most of his payments were going to Christmas gifts and debts and stuff like that, and mum was trying to do the best she can, and I just wanted to say that no matter what you know, the people say that food's out of date and stuff like that. What the Salvation Army did for us was a massive gift at Christmas time. And, I just wanted to say
fantastic story. Now, are your parents still with us?
My parents are still going. They're kicking well now that all of us kids have moved out of home and gotten older and stuff like that and supporting ourselves now. And my parents are about to celebrate their wedding anniversary of about 35 years.
Oh, wow. And
They're going on a cruise overseas soon, so yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for calling us. Across the country on Triple M Network, it's The Night Shift with Sam Dastyari filling in for Luke Bonner. We have a full board of calls, and can I say, everyone is trying to beat at the moment the hay baler to tell us what is their most interesting job, but we're still taking some calls about charities and about food bank, and we've got Dave. You there, mate?
Yeah, mate.
Okay, now, Dave, you sound like you're in a truck. Where are you heading from?
I left Kyneton this afternoon and heading to Newcastle.
Okay, sorry. This is how terrible I am. I'm such an inner-city little spiv here. Where's Kyneton?
Halfway between Melbourne and Bendigo.
Ah, okay. So it's down in... Oh, yeah, I know. It's kind of like in the mountains there.
Yes.
Yes, okay, yeah. My sister lives there. Yeah, I should know that. Okay.
Yeah,
it's like the hippie part of, like, it's kind of like the Blue Mountains, and it's kind of got the nice cafes and it's very hipster there, right?
Oh, I don't know about the nice cafes.
Okay. Now, you live in Kyneton or you live in Sydney?
No, I live in Charlton, which is halfway between Melbourne and Mildura.
Charlton. Okay, Melbourne and Mildura. Okay. You know what? I'm faking this. I'm not even faking it well. I have no idea where that is, right? I have no idea where Mildura is. I obviously know where Melbourne is, but yes. Now, and you're driving through to Sydney. You're doing that whole trip tonight? Because that'll be about 9 hours, right?
No, I'm going to Newcastle. I'm just in Sydney now.
How long is the drive?
It's about 11 and a half hours.
11 and a half hours?
Yeah.
Jeez. Is it your truck? You drive for someone else? You're an owner driver?
No, I drive for someone else.
But 11 and a half hours. Is that a regular kind of stint for you?
Oh, it's a regular kind of thing for most drivers, I think.
Jeez. Okay. Longest trip you've ever done?
Longest trip I've ever done, Melbourne to Perth.
In one go?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you stopped, obviously, breaks and eaten every 2 hours and all the kind of requirements that are met under law, of course. But
absolutely. The truck, it takes 3 days. Back in April, I took the car over and I did two.
In 2 days. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That is incredible. Now, Dave, food banks.
Food banks, yeah. A lot of the food they get, I used to work at the Melbourne Wholesale Fruit and Veg Market.
Yep.
A lot of the stuff they do get, it's got to be used pretty quick. But as for the cans and packet stuff,
yep.
Unless it's dairy, which has got used by date, the tin stuff, packet stuff, has a best before date.
Yeah, that's right. And the best before is just like an insurance marketing thing, isn't it? Like, you can eat...
They're legally obligated to put that on there.
Yep.
But the stuff is perfectly fine to eat, even a year after the date's actually passed.
Yeah, that look, that was always my take on it. That's the big difference. So you see, the difference is the words best before and the words used by mean completely different things, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's, that was my understanding too, and that's why you can. And I can kind of, yeah. Look, it all makes sense. Dave,
yeah.
Drive safely. 11.5 hours. By the way, is anyone out there doing a longer kind of shift than that? 133353 on the night shift across the country. Trish, you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm loving it. Now, can you beat being a hay baler?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you do, Trish? What are you doing at the moment? What's keeping you awake?
Well, I'm a Tupperware manager, and we've just been to one of our Monday night sales meetings. We're coming into our busiest week of the year, and it's the best fun you can have on a Monday night with your clothes on, I reckon.
It's the okay. Stop for a sec. Tupperware is the most fun you can have with your clothes on. Is that what we're
absolutely
saying? Is that an official statement?
Probably not.
Okay. Because my take is, if that's the case, then you're doing it wrong. But Trish, so okay. But so when you said you got your meeting, is this like your own planning kind of meeting, or you're out there actually holding a Tupperware kind of meeting? Like a sales?
No, this is a sales meeting where we meet up with our teams and we get training and we get lots of support and networking. It's fabulous.
Okay. And how did you get into it? It's such a fascinating thing. How did you get into Tupperware?
Well, I was a woman in her early 50s. I was working 5 part-time jobs. I'd been made unexpectedly redundant the week before we shifted into our own home. I was just scraping through, making ends meet. I had never even heard of Tupperware. I'd never bought any. I didn't know anything about the company. But it doesn't cost anything to start, and you get all the support that you need. And I thought, why the hell not? Might as well give it a go. And that was not quite five years ago. Now I drive a company car. I get paid very, very well. We get heaps of free stuff. I get paid to party. The more I party, the more I get paid.
Okay, that sounds pretty fantastic. Actually, sounds pretty good. Okay, what is your biggest ever sale? What's the biggest? Was there one night where you just killed it? Like, a politician or a comedian, whatever, the nights where you just kill. Like, you kill a room and you just go in there and you just own it.
Oh, I probably, my parties are pretty fun. So that's not a big thing for me. But I really enjoyed going in and helping a lady get her pantry all organised. She said she was going to get a new pantry, having a kitchen done. Would I come in and help her get it sorted? I said, yeah, not a problem. So she came, she rang me a couple of weeks later. She said, finally, it's all done. She said, come in. So when I got there to this house, it was just magnificent. She had 4 big double doors full of pantries. So we got it all organised and sorted out for her, and she was as happy as. So I love helping people get organised. It's one of the fun things we do.
Oh, wow. Okay, that sounds fantastic. Trish, okay, well, look, I've got to say, impressive story, pretty good story. I'm ranking you probably 3rd at the moment. It's still not hay baling, because I knew that Tupperware existed. I didn't know that, you know, hay baling existed, and we had our emergency services call. But thank you so much for the call. Damien, you there?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Sam. You're doing a pretty good job taking over from Luke.
Mate, it's big shoes to fill.
It is. He's pretty good. I've talked to him a couple of times.
So he's a great guy, isn't he? Cool. He's just salt of the earth.
Yeah, I just thought I'd bring you and tell you what I do at middle of the hours, you know. It's basically for the last 3 months I've been planning a new business, and for some reason, which is unbeknownst to me, my mind works best between about probably about 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. in the morning, and I get up and write a business plan about my new business that I'm about to start, and it doesn't do real good in the daytime.
So you're just a night owl. You just work at night. That's what works for you.
Yeah, and on top of want to sleep in the day, which doesn't work for me either, because I've got a business that needs to be open in the daytime. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, my mind works well at night, and in the daytime I'm just like a zombie, just walking around, just doing the mundane things that actually involves my job.
Damien, so whatever works for you, whatever works for you, mate. Now, Sam, you there?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I'm here.
How are you? That, Sam, I've just got a little note in front of me. What is it that you do?
Yeah, so at the moment, I'm actually, you know Ed that called up just before?
Yeah.
I'm actually stalking him because I'm running around covering up his illegal bill posters with my illegal
posters. No way. Yeah. Okay. So we got, so those who might have just tuned in, we had Ed before. We're doing what is the strangest job, what is the coolest, most different job you're doing at the moment. We had Ed who's illegally putting it, well, he claims he weren't illegally, but, you know, we suspect they were, putting up posters around Sydney. And now we've got Sam calling in. And Sam, what is it that you're doing?
I'm covering up Ed's illegal posters with our illegal posters.
That is fantastic. Now, so you know him? Do you know Ed?
Oh, yeah. I see him around a bit.
Okay. So you guys just kind of work for kind of rival distributors.
Yeah, exactly. It's all a bit of fun.
Now, tell me, how does the industry actually work, right? So do you just, can I go online? If I want to do this job, right? If I want to be going around putting up posters with you, how do I do it?
We've got clients, even, you know, we get Parramatta City Council, like, as client and stuff like that, and distribute posters for them, you know, just on hoardings and all sorts of stuff like that. And
So how long have you been doing it for?
3 years.
Okay, fantastic. And so, like, but if I want to do it, right, is there like an agency? Is there like anything? Is there
No. There's just a few companies in Sydney. You could find it easy enough online.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Sam, that is fantastic. Okay, that is the best. I think we actually may have so far the best job of all. Not because you're going around putting up the illegal posters, but you're chasing a guy who's already called the show up tonight, going around putting up illegal posters. Thank you so much, Sam. You're on the night shift with Sam Dastiari filling in for Luke Bonner across the country on the Triple M network. We've been taking calls on a lot of things, but in part on what is the most interesting job? 133-53. Hey, Jess, do you know who we haven't heard from?
Go on.
There's got to be a baker out there.
We've got heaps of bakers listening to us.
Do they ever call in?
They do. I'd love to hear from some, though.
Yeah, I'd love one to visit us.
I'd love some free food.
Okay. 133-53. If you're a baker, preferably somewhere in the CBD of Sydney, even better. But anywhere across the country, 133-53. Call in. Adam, how are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Mate, I'm living the dream. What are you doing tonight?
Heading back home now. Yeah, I sort of been out doing the job as per normal, like I normally do, all hours of the night and mostly in the daytime, but yeah, fun.
What's the job? What's your job?
I pump out sewage for a living.
Okay. What does that mean? Are you just saying plumber or no? It's a particular type of plumber?
No, not a plumber at all. I drive a truck. It's a tanker that sucks out tanks full of sewage.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Now, does it smell?
Oh, yeah, it certainly does. You've got to have a good stomach for the job.
Okay, you're getting paid extraordinarily well for this, aren't you?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Now, where in Sydney, Adam?
Whereabouts? I'm all over Sydney Metro.
Okay. And, so how do you get into that? Like, how did you start off into that?
I've been doing it for just over 10 years now, believe it or not. Just fell into the job. Just, you know, one of those things.
Started out as a driver and kind of just got into it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, fantastic. All right. I've got a note here saying it's rated the second worst job in the world. What's worse? Oh, we've lost Adam. Adam, you there? No, we've lost him. Hey, Clint, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate.
Now, Clint, where are you? It sounds like are you driving or something at the moment? It sounds like you're out on the road.
Yeah, mate, yeah. I'm driving from Mount Isa back to Townsville.
Mount Isa to... Okay. I am not an expert on anything outside the inner city, you know, hipster suburbs that I live in. But that is far. That is a big drive.
Yeah, mate. Usually do 14 hours a day.
14 hours?
Yeah, triple road train.
Oh, my God. Okay, so if I do, what's a triple road train?
Three trailers.
So that's bigger than a B-double. Is that a B-triple or something?
Yeah, mate, double a B-double. Three trailers.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, mate.
Oh, wow. Okay, and that takes 14 hours. And how often do you do that route?
Oh, if you have a bit of a crack, you can get down 12. But I do five a fortnight. So I do 3 1 week, 2 the next.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you just do it. When you do it, you just get in the car. I mean, obviously, you know, you take the requisite breaks, but you just try and do it in the minimum time possible. You just go for it.
Leave Mount Isa about 6 o'clock. I should be back in Townsville by 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. What do you transport that's that big?
Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. General, whatever. Whatever's going, mate.
Okay. Clint, so where are you right now? How far away are you now?
Probably 5 hours from home.
Okay, so we still have you for 5 more hours then.
Yeah, mate.
We've got you all night. You're stuck with us.
By the way, you're going pretty good too, mate.
Oh, thanks, Clint. Thank you.
I listen to Luke and Jess all the time.
Luke is actually brilliant, isn't he?
Luke is really good, yeah. But you're bringing a bit of life to the party, mate.
Shame about Jess, eh?
Shame about Jess. Yeah, no, don't say that.
No, hey.
I will block both of you. I will cancel both of you in a second.
That's right. I keep Luke
reckons she's violent, so you wouldn't want to say too much.
I keep saying to her, how can I soar like an eagle when I'm surrounded by this turkey? But, you know, you work with what you're given, right? You work with what you're given. Hey, Clint, thank you so much. For everyone else, 133353, what are you doing tonight? I'm desperately after a baker. I'm failing miserably, but please give us a call. Josh, you there?
Yeah, mate. G'day,
how are you? I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Just got home from work. So I tie up and let go all the big ships and small ships that come in and out of the bay down here in Victoria and Geelong.
Okay, I'll stop you for a sec. You said that in two parts. So you started off with I tie up and then I let go. And then I went straight, because I'm not experienced with this, the dump button, thinking I've got some kind of strange sexual predator on the line that I'm going to have to get rid of. You just said it, then you pause for a bit. They go, ships. Because I thought you were about to say, I tie up and let go. Ships, right?
Okay, no, you're right.
So you do that in Melbourne. So what does that mean? How does that work?
So pretty much all your fuel ships or your fertilizer ships, grain ships, all those types of vessels, we tie up and we let them go. So we're part of a mooring crew and we work, we're on call, most of us are on call 24/7. Sort of when the ship's there, it's there. And if it's not, it's not. There's sort of, guidelines and all sorts of fun things that happen from week to week.
Okay, so is it normally doing that during the day or is that doing that nights as well? Are you working now?
I've just finished work now.
Okay.
Worked earlier this morning and then come home, had a sleep and whatnot, and then went back out tonight around about dinner time. And ships, as any transport, can shift ahead by 2 hours or go back 4 hours, but you've just got to sort of roll with it.
Okay. Now, when you say ships, are you doing some of these kind of super yachts and that?
Not so much the super yachts as such. It's like big crude tankers and
actual kind of working meters. Ships as opposed to okay. And so where are you down at? You're down at where are you out of?
Out of Geelong.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Josh, thank you so much for calling us. Kevin, you there, mate? Kevin, have we got you?
Yeah, mate.
Oh, fantastic. How are you?
Yeah.
Now,
how you going?
I'm pretty good. Where are you calling from, Kevin?
Hervey Bay, Queensland.
Okay, so Fraser Island, really, just like, you know, it's across from Fraser Island, right?
Yeah, across from it.
It's a gorgeous part of the world. What's keeping you up?
Yes, it is. The reason I'm on the night is the first time over bringing. You're complaining about the government, the way they cut food, food.
Yeah, food bank. Yeah, we're talking about this earlier. Yeah. They've cut $330,000 from food bank, you know, kind of in the lead up to Christmas. And I don't know, I mean, I've been around government. I've seen what they do. I've seen how much money gets absolutely wasted, like wasted. And you go, well, you know, are these charities the first place when you want to start cutting money that you should be cutting?
No, because I love to go to back to work, but I, at the moment I'm struggling. I have to be. I'm on a disability pension, and I got a fortnight by fortnight. And most of the time, I got no food.
Jeez.
And money's left up to pay my bills and whatnot. I could get rid of my car, but then I'm
Then you're stranded, though, mate. Then you're stranded.
Yeah, I get stranded. But the government's got no idea. But they give money to foreign aid where it could be better fed done back in Australia. My grandfather and my parents always said, you worry about your own backyard before you worry about anyone else's.
The whole way government works, though. I mean, look, I've been around politics. I've seen the way money gets wasted on programs and dumb ideas and thought bubbles and this and that. But Kevin, that sounds like, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that you're kind of going through a bit of a tough time. Is there light at the end of the tunnel?
At the moment, I've been like this for over 12 months.
Yep.
Actually 18 months. I've been looking for work. At the moment, because of my age is the hard part.
Oh, mate, there is so much ageism out there, and especially in kind of that employment space. The amount of discrimination there is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the worry about getting young people, half the time, the young people don't want to friggin' work. But you've got a lot of older people like to get back in the workforce. They got more experience, life experience, than these young ones at the moment. But all the governments, politicians, councilmen, everything around Australia, in Australia, they only worry about one thing, putting money in their own back pockets, or they worry about their own constituents.
Kevin, thank you so much for calling us, and thank you for kind of joining us tonight. Ross, you there?
Yeah, I am.
All right, interesting job. Tell us, what have you got?
I'm a meat wholesaler, so we're all the boys and girls that are... work between the abattoir and the butcher shop. We get all the trucks all loaded up in the mornings and grade up all the meat and get the trucks loaded, get them out on the road, deliver it to the butcher shop. So,
oh, fantastic. So in my mind, by the way, you just permanently work in a scene of Law and Order right now where you know, there's Law and Order. Every time they open up one of your trucks and there's just a body in there, right? Which I assume doesn't happen that often, mind you. Do you do Griffith much?
Sorry, what was that?
Do you do the Griffith run? I think, isn't that where the bodies are?
No. Well, the good thing is we've got a truckload of passengers, but they're all quiet. So that's the best part about it. So we move people around, but yeah, they're very incapacitated. So it's awesome.
Oh, fantastic. So how long have you been doing that for?
About 6 years now. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there, like, just in the hard times at the moment. Like, we see the other end of, you know, what the farmers are going through and all that sort of stuff. So when they're struggling, we struggle as well too, because the exporters are out there with stuff and we get left with the second grade stuff here in Australia. So, you know, while the Australian dollar's down, we're battling even harder, because they come in here, sweep out all the fields, take out all the farms, and we're left here with whatever's left. So
now, at the moment, are you working right now, or are you?
I'm on my way to work now. We're just about to go and start getting the boys loaded up and get the little magical meat fairies out there to load up all the butcher shops, getting them ready to go for the day.
Okay, what a fantastic story! Filling up trucks with meat. Fantastic, Ross. Thank you so much. Now, there are people out there. 133353. Can you beat that? Do you have a more interesting job? Certainly give us a call across the country on the Triple M network. It's the Night Shift with Sam Dastiari filling in for the amazing Luke Bonner. The phones have exploded tonight.
You're doing great.
Okay, this is...
You're killing it.
So for those, this is night two of me filling in for Luke Bonner. Sam Dastiari here, disgraced Labor politician, former politician, and I've been promoted to 2 a.m. broadcaster on the Triple M network across the nation. And this is the time of night when, you know, Jess comes in and pumps up my ego, because people who know me...
No, I deflate. People, wrong word.
People who know me know that I suffer from, you know, low levels of self-belief and faith. 133353, the most interesting, crazy job out there. Look, I was trying to move the conversation on. I was trying to get to, you know, have you ever been through your partner's phone? Have you ever found anything on it? Should you have access to their password? But can I say, Australia, you seem to not give a shit about that. Mm-mm. You just want to tell us what is the craziest job you've got out there. And, Jess, we've had some interesting ones.
We have. I actually am shocked that Tupperware is still alive.
Tupperware
the Tupperware parties still happen.
Yeah, is Amway still a thing too?
I don't know.
Hey, is there an Amway person out there? 1-333-53
We need to know. Did you ever attend a Tupperware party?
No. No. Have you?
Yeah, not by choice. I had to be there with mum.
Okay. So was your mum selling or buying?
Buying. Yeah. Buying.
Do you feel like obliged when you go to those things that you kind of have
to
buy?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, they sell it to you. They make it look really good. You know, this comes off and this cleans like this and this swivels around left and right.
I couldn't give a shit.
The colours.
Is it like, this is not cheap either.
It's expensive, but it's Tupperware. You're paying for the brand, I think.
Yeah, are you? Are
what
you
a
really?
Weird party. What a weird way to celebrate.
I have been to some really, really weird, wild parties, right? I reckon, you know, it's you could almost do it as a kind of like a trope. Like an actual, like a, like it's kind of such a hipster thing to do and sit like, my Sydney hipster friends, I could see holding a Tupperware party just for the kind of craziness of it.
Just to say they did.
Just to say they did. Hey, you know, we've done everything else, right? We've had every other kind of party. Now, tell us, worst jobs, interesting jobs. You've got a list.
Apparently, these are some of the worst ones if you are a slaughterhouse worker.
An abattoir.
Yeah.
Is it that bad?
But you can be up to your knees in blood and guts.
Okay, no.
It's messy and you might smell for a while.
No, this is Triple M. This is Triple M nights. There's an abattoir worker out there.
No, of course there is. We've got heaps of them.
By the way, so calling, we've got a couple of the drivers who've called in. If anyone out there in abattoirs, they're calling. But you know what we haven't got yet? Still haven't got a baker.
Where are they? We've got heaps listening.
No, I think we got in early. I think they come in at about 3-4. I don't know. That's right. My excuse. Otherwise, they just don't want to talk to me.
They're not into you.
That's right. That's not into me. The truckies are into me, right?
I think they're warming to you.
I know. Because last night, the only people calling in were people leaving bars. Like, it really got to a point last night. We go, I work at a bar. I work at this or that. But we had some truckies. Yes, abattoir worker, please call in.
We've definitely got some of them.
All right, tell us. What else? What else we got?
Another really bad one that they've got here is a paint dry watcher.
That's not a job. That's make work.
Apparently it's a job. You're meant to sit there and check how the color of matte and emulsion changes over time and to make sure they are durable.
Okay,
you have to sit and watch paint dry.
Is that a bad job or like the world's best job?
It's a pretty easy job.
Like, it's pretty cruisy.
I think it's a good gig.
Yeah, let's be honest.
How much would that pay, do you reckon?
Minimum wage.
Apparently being a guard.
Minimum wage.
A guard at Buckingham Palace.
That's a great job. You wear the hat, you've got the whole thing. There's people who...
They're pretty amazing. They do not flinch.
There's like a sexual fetish for them too.
Really?
Yep. Google it.
Like a niche market?
Or so I've been told.
Well, I'm sure we've got someone listening who's in the industry.
That's right. 1-333-53
Where's our escort driver?
No. The escort driver. Seriously.
They would know.
Escort.
Yeah.
Escort of the escort. Yeah, they might
They'd
actually
know. They'd
have
a tip, surely. Customer service advisor.
Yeah, that's just...
Bleak.
That's bleak. That's
no
bleak.
One wants to talk to them. No. I feel bad for them, though. I'm always the polite person. Do you do the surveys if they ever call in?
Never.
Really? What do you say? Or do you just hang up?
I just hang up.
Oh.
I don't. By the way, I don't even have a home
phone. They're doing a job.
Yeah.
But you're not into it.
I'm not into it. I'm just not into it.
Some people aren't into
it. All right, what else? Give me one more.
Truck driver, which is our entire audience.
That's a great gig.
I think it's a good gig too.
Hey, okay. So where is this list you've gotten? This is
the
a rubbish
internet.
List. Oh, the internet. Oh, yeah, thanks.
On the internet,
yeah,
it's
wow.
True.
Lots of work went into that, Jess. Seriously.
Yeah, but Triple M is hardcore. I mean, our listeners are doing the tough jobs out there that people deem as unfavorable.
Okay, there was another one in there I saw.
Yeah.
Broadcaster.
I know, what are we doing?
I know.
I didn't want to read that one out, but apparently it's one of the worst jobs in the world.
How is that the worst job? We literally just sit here and just talk shit to people on the on the phone.
I think it's a good gig.
Through the night. I think it's a great gig. This is one of the, mind you, I mean, I was going to say we haven't had anyone kind of in the prostitution business call us, but then again, I am a former politician, so that's pretty much the same thing.
You just screw people over, huh?
Screw people. Now, stay there. We're going to take a call. Trent, you there?
Yeah, mate.
How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Mate, I'm absolutely living the dream. You're here with me and Jess.
How
are you?
Trent.
How are you?
Mate, it's going great. It's night two.
Yeah. Mate, now, I just want to talk about Christmas lights.
Oh, don't tell me. No,
this is
no,
a debate.
This is
Has
not
it
good.
Started?
This is not good. What date is it? What date
November
is it?
November 13. Is it too early?
It's a month early. We can't talk about it for a month. Oh, my God, Trent, I'm looking at your notes. Don't tell me you've got your Christmas lights up.
Mate, I've had them up for a week. Only reason being is you've heard of Hunter Valley Gardens out there in the wineries in the Hunter Valley.
Yeah, of course.
Yep, they opened up on the 2nd or 3rd, and they're, like, I don't charge people to drive past and look at me lights, but they're charging, like, $30, $40 for adults to get in just to look at Christmas lights. And I thought,
really?
Yep,
okay.
I've got kids of my own, and, yeah, I want to get into the spirit. I didn't believe in Halloween because I don't think it's, I don't like Halloween myself because I think it's just an opening for kids to knock on strangers' doors, and I'm just going ahead with Christmas.
Okay, just have a say. Hang on. You're saying that Hunter Valley Gardens, which is, for those who don't know, it's a huge winery, wedding kind of venue site. It's got everything. They've kind of
very scenic. Places.
Very scenic, right? Up in the kind of Hunter Newcastle area. You're saying that actually at the moment is charging $30 and you're doing it for free.
I've never been there, but yeah, I just looked at the prices and thought, why would you bother? By the time you drive there and yeah.
Okay, yours are up already. This is too early.
Well, how,
this is too
well
early.
When are we allowed to start, Sam, according to you? So in about 10 days, that'll be a month out.
Look, I think at least December. At least December.
Okay.
Like for me, December's like the starting point. Because now, I mean, the shopping centres are all up and running.
Is it too much for you? But then if you start in December, you've only got 3 weeks of the Christmas spirit.
Yeah,
Are you a bit of a Grinch?
I don't have the spirit. I'm a bit of a Grinch.
Angry man. Yeah,
I'm like a Triple M listener. I'm just an angry person out there right now, really shitty at the world. My career has imploded on itself.
Plummeted, really.
Yeah, things have hit rock bottom, and you know, I want to take it out on other people.
Fine, all right.
133353. Is it too early to be putting up Christmas lights? And Trent, now tell me your issue with Halloween. What's your issue with Halloween?
I just don't think it's right that young kids knocking on strangers' doors. Like, you don't know who lives in the house and history, etc.
They're with their parents, though. And don't you usually just go to your neighbours' homes and other participants in your street? You wouldn't go out somewhere random.
Yeah, I've never believed in it.
Okay.
Look, it is very, I have to say, it is very American. It's very American.
Yeah,
it
the
is,
whole trick right? or treat
the
thing.
The whole trick or treat thing. It's not, like, I've seen a lot of people kind of having a go at it because they go, oh, it's not really our culture, it's their culture. We're Australia, we're not America. You know, everything American is already kind of seeped into our culture already because of television and movies and this and that. That being said, like, you know, I've got two daughters, they're 7 and, you know, 5. They love getting dressed up.
Yeah, I think it's a good time. It's fun and it can be a family thing as well.
But also this whole, hey, Trent, how old are your kids?
I've got a 2-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Okay. And so are they allowed to do Halloween or no?
No. Okay. The 12-year-old went out with a father, but yeah, 2-year-old that I've got to my wife now. Nah.
Yeah, two is two. I mean, they wouldn't. Yeah, they kind of wouldn't realize. But I don't know. See, and the whole thing about the neighbors and that. See, I am the most relaxed person in the world about like my kids. Right, like literally, my kids could tell me right now that they want to go to the park. My 7-year-old and I'd be like, yeah, go to the park by yourself. That's fine.
Wait. On their own.
Doesn't bother me. That's what we did. Right?
But,
no, we the way we handle our kids
now.
Your
7-year-old goes to the park on her own.
It's across the road.
Okay.
I'm
Are
okay
you
with
supervising
that.
From your house?
Allegedly.
Sam.
Allegedly.
Isn't that a bit dangerous?
No, this is what we did. This is how we kind of got
yeah,
raised.
Yeah, but.
This not, is, no.
But just because nothing happened to you doesn't mean something might not happen
some
to your
kid.
Some
bad things. But this is the thing. I actually think at the moment we cover these kids in cotton wool. We don't let our kids be kids. Mate, my life was this, especially when I was at school. 3 o'clock or whatever, you get home from school, you just play in the street till it gets dark and with your neighbours till it gets dark. And when it gets dark, and my parents had no idea where I was. I could have been anywhere. And then when it gets dark, you kind of come home and that was it. That was everything. That was your entire kind of life, right? Now, but you can't have kids. They can't walk down the street anymore, right?
Well, have times changed or are we just hearing about bad things because of social media?
I'm not sure. I mean, 133. Actually, I'm just wondering what people think. 133353. Do you actually have to be more protective of your kid now, or are we just covering them in cotton wool? What about? I mean, you used to be out a fair bit. They used to let you just walk the streets. That's how you turned out the way you turned out.
Bit feral.
Bit feral.
Yeah, I was the last. I reckon I'm pretty happy. I'm the last generation to grow up without the smartphone. So we weren't sitting on video games and Facebook and Instagram. We were out in the streets as well. I see what you're saying. But Mum was always, you know, not too far behind. We wouldn't go on our own.
Yeah, okay. Hey, no. Jess, we've got Josh. Josh, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, abattoir worker, tell us. We found one.
Yeah, I used to work at Tease Brothers down in Beenleigh in Brisbane.
Beenleigh,
in Queensland.
Okay, yeah. So what kind of an abattoir is that?
It's just a beef one where they just do all the cows and all of that.
Okay. How long were you there for?
About 4 or 5 years.
Okay, that's quite a while.
I was on the kill floor.
Okay, actually. Wow. Is it actually called the kill floor?
Yeah, it's called, you've got the kill floor, you've got the gut room, which is where all the innards go down. You chuck them down a big chute, they go down, they sort them all out, like your tripe, your kidneys, your tongues and all like that.
Jeez.
Then the carcasses, they move down the chain, they go into the chiller room, and then the next day they go down to the boning room where they do all the boning and all. But it's a pretty fun, it's a pretty cool job to do. It might sound sadistic, but yeah, it's pretty fun. You get to learn new things, like heaps of stuff you get to learn in there.
Like it takes a type of person.
Like how to dispose of a body?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So it's not as bad as the internet says it is?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's all done humanely and all like that. Then you like people say, you get covered in blood. You do get covered in blood, but you don't stink when you go home yet.
Okay.
They've got showers and all there. You have your showers there. And
so, Josh, is what you're really saying at 2:15 in the morning on Triple M across the nation is that the kill room has been given a bad reputation?
Yeah, basically.
Not as savage as it sounds.
I mean, you get covered in blood and you got to be careful because things go then to the gut room and the bone room. But, you know.
You get some kidneys stuck in your hair, but it's not all bad.
Now, what are you doing now, Josh?
What was back then?
What are you doing now?
Me? I'm just working for my dad, doing some cleaning and all, helping out in the family business.
Oh, fantastic. Are you working or are you just up at home?
Me? Yeah, no, I'm working with him. I'm just, like, I'm out at the moment. I've just done about 3 or 4 jobs for him.
Oh, fantastic. Josh, thank you. You know, that's a fantastic story. Josh, thank you so, so much for being there for us. Vince, you there?
Yep.
Now, Vince, can you beat working in the kill room?
I used to work in the kill room for 6 years.
Okay.
And now I work for a knackery.
You work for a knackery?
I work for a knackery, yeah, or a stock removalist company.
Okay.
Change.
Now, hang on. I haven't heard the second term, a stock removalist company.
A stock removalist company, yes.
That's it. That is a euphemism if ever I heard one.
Right.
So does a knackery mean that it's just horses?
No.
Oh.
That's the misconception a lot of people have. Don't worry. A knackery is basically pet food consumption only.
Okay.
Right. So I'm actually driving down to Melbourne at the moment.
Yep.
I'm actually in Broadford at the moment, just out of Melbourne. In a heavy rigid truck with about 8 ton worth of dog food on at the moment.
Wow, you would not want to crash into you.
Okay, but hang on, but before that, right? So where you actually work, do they do the whole process there, or they already get the kind of dead meat given to them?
We do the whole process at the yard. So basically we've got other trucks that will go out to farms and stuff like that, pick up dead stock. Or injured stock, we'll go out and shoot them. And yeah.
Oh, wow. You do the shooting yourself?
Yeah, we do all the shooting. We do all that sort of stuff to get it for ourselves. Then we'll take it all back to the knackery and it all get processed, like scum and gutted, all that sort of stuff. And then they will, turn it into dog food, basically.
Wow. Okay. That is okay. And is that a better job or worse job than the kill room? Kill floor.
Some days it's better, some days it's worse.
Okay.
We do kangaroo, we do all that sort of stuff as well.
Did you find that you had to get used to the fact that you were killing animals?
No, I grew up on big stations and stuff like
okay.
that, so
yeah, you
killing
still
animals didn't really worry me. Working 6 years in the abattoirs didn't really worry me because I was used to it.
Wow.
I kind of acclimatized to it. When I first started working at the abattoirs, I found I couldn't eat sheep for a couple of months.
just might the be smell bit, of it makes yeah. you feel sick.
You get a bit scarred, yeah. I guess.
And then you get used to it.
Vince, thank you so much. Now, you're on the night shift with Sam Dastiaro filling in for Luke Bonner, 1-333-53. The phones have lit up. Please also call in about Christmas comments and about spying on people on their phones. Across the country, Triple M Network, the night shift, Sam Dastiaro filling in for Luke Bonner. Callum, tell me about Christmas. Please tell me your lights aren't already up.
I love Christmas, mate. It's for the kids. Get them straight up, mate.
Okay, are yours up?
Oh yeah, of course they are, mate.
Oh no, are you the first person in your street to get them up?
Oh, there's one other house that I've got them up, but yeah, I like to try and keep my Christmas tree up all year round.
Oh wow, okay, that's serious commitment. Is it either a serious commitment or you just can't be bothered moving it?
Well, it adds up for a birthday tree, an Easter tree.
Halloween.
Not Halloween. I'm not much of a fan of Halloween, but
okay. So, where in Melbourne? What suburb are you in?
Wallert.
Okay. Well, so that's what's
Epping,
that near?
Northern suburbs.
Okay.
Fantastic. Northern suburbs. Epping.
Now, tell me, what are you doing? What are you doing at the moment? What's keeping you awake at night?
I just finished work and I'm about a minute away from home to crack open a beer and have a few more.
Mate, that sounds pretty fantastic. What kind of work are you in?
Traffic control.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Callum, yeah. Have a well-earned beer in your Christmas lit-up house in the middle of November, and thank you so much for calling in. Trevor, you there?
Yes, I'm here, mate.
Now, mate, what do you do?
I work in concert festival security and stadium security at the moment.
Okay, that is like the ultimate. That is like the ultimate Triple M job.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
So do you get to see gigs and that? Is it like to get free tickets to gigs? Is it kind of a like? Can you kind of ride that wave?
I don't need tickets. I can just walk straight in.
Of course. So where do you work at? Which venue?
I work in Brisbane, but I work anywhere from Hervey Bay to Byron Bay. So Falls Festival, Splendor, the Entertainment Centre, Suncorp Stadium, Woolloongabba, if there's a concert, football game, a festival, anywhere.
Okay, now tell me, what is the best concert that you've gotten to see for free?
Well, I could see every concert for free, but Pink Floyd earlier this year, Queen this year.
Okay. Definitely.
It was great.
So Pink Floyd, yeah, because Pink Floyd toured, it was this year, wasn't it? It wasn't last year, it was this year. So they toured this year. Were they good? Because I heard some mixed reports. I heard a bit of kind of like they're phoning it in.
It was just Roger Waters. David Gilmour doesn't tour with
No, he doesn't.
But yeah, besides being over-politicised about Trump, it was a brilliant concert.
Okay.
On chance.
Okay, so there was that. And what else did you say you've seen for free for work?
Oh, gosh. In the last 15 years, it's been endless.
Okay.
I've seen everyone from Kiss to Metallica to AC/DC, Guns N' Roses.
Do you understand that is like the Triple M dream right now? Like there is a whole bunch of people out there listening across the country just going, Trevor's a bit of an arsehole.
I get access to places that not even you guys can get into.
I'm absolutely sure you do. Hey, now, I've got a note here, though. Tell us about your work before. So you used to be in an abattoir?
Yes, I used to work at Tees Brothers Abattoirs as well, like the previous caller, but I worked in from Blaney down outside Orange through to just about every abattoir between and Brisbane.
Okay.
Getting to the Tees Brothers, I used to, for a good 10 years, worked on the kill floor and in what the paunch room, which is where all the guts and everything goes.
Hang on, what's it called? What's the gut room called?
Paunch room, P-A-U-N-C-H.
Paunch room.
The actual name for it.
Is the kill floor what I assume it is? Like they go in there live, the machines, because the machine, well, depending on what they're doing with the meat, I suppose, but they actually get killed on the kill floor, right? Okay, assume that's what happens.
Sort of. So they store the cows in the stockyards, and then they've got what's called a chase, which is just a wide enough corridor for one cow to come up at a time.
Yep.
And then they go into a knocker box. So the box, once they go in, the sides close up, their head becomes secured, and then you have a what's called the knocker itself. It's kind of shaped like a sledgehammer. It has a long pin in the front and a bowl just in front of it, and you tap them on the head with the pin, and the bowl goes through their skull.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Does it... I'm obviously not desensitized this yet, and you've obviously worked there, so you are. Did it change you? Did it, like, change your impression of meat or not?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Okay, well, Trevor, thank you so much. So you have now gone, this is pretty much, there's a lot of people listening out here at the moment who think, wow, that sounds terrible, and your current job sounds like the coolest thing in the world. Right? So...
Well, it is, but one of the weirdest jobs you have in an abattoir is peeling kidneys.
Oh, tell me about this. What's that?
When the offal tray, when the slaughtermen take out the guts, it gets separated into separate trays on a conveyor belt.
Yep.
And one person does the stomachs, one person does the fetuses, which I've also worked in as well, the fetal blood room, where they separate the fetal blood from the fetus itself.
Is the fetal blood have value?
Yeah, so they use it to make antibiotics.
Okay, wow. Okay, yep. Okay, so it serves a quite important purpose, yep.
Yeah, because it's the purest blood that you can source.
Yep.
Because the cow obviously has a few digestive systems, so all impurities filtered out before it gets to the fetus.
Yep.
So, the blood, we drain the blood out of the unborn fetus and it gets bagged up like a blood bank and sent off to medical research.
Okay. And then there's someone else who peels the kidney.
Yes, peeling the kidneys. It's a dirty job because kidneys obviously smell like urine because they filter the urine in the body.
Oh, yeah, of course. Having never done it before, it never occurred to me. There were many things about that sounded horrendous, smelling like urine just being one of them. Did you ever do that, Trevor? Did you ever do that job?
Yeah. I've done just about every job on the beef kill floor.
Wow.
So from the knocker box to the chase where the blood is drained from the body after the throat's cut, to the first hock cut, to the skin peeler. It's a big hydraulic machine that pulls the skin off the cow right through to loadout, which is when the processed side of beef gets pushed onto a truck.
Trevor, thank you so much for your call, and thank you for making sure that I never eat meat again. Thank you. You destroyed it. But thank you so much, Trevor. Sean, you there?
Yeah, mate.
How are you?
Good.
Now, tell us, most interesting job. What's the most interesting job you've had?
Oh, I've had a few, but I actually take horses between Melbourne and Sydney now. Race horses, any horse.
Oh, race horses. Okay. Oh, wow. So, if I want to... If I'm competing, what, I hire you, you'll bring my horse down?
Yep. Oh, our company goes between Melbourne and Brisbane. So, we have a depot in Sydney. So I'll go from Melbourne to Sydney and back twice a week.
Okay. I've always been fascinated by this because you kind of drive past and you see the occasional horse, but they're obviously normally in kind of small floats. More like, do the horses sleep when they're being, driven or not? They just stay awake the whole time?
Nah, they stay awake all the time, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because we rock and roll a fair bit. I've got 12 on at the moment.
Oh, my God. You've got 12 horses with you right now?
Yep.
Okay, wow. Okay, that is really, really... So you've got 12 horses, and where are you driving to?
I'm going down to Melbourne.
From Sydney?
From Sydney,
okay. Yep. Is that, without giving any information that would get you in trouble, is that because there's a race going on that you're going down for, or...?
It's just the horses going to and from stables and horses that come off quarantine and all that going to their new owners and whatnot down this way.
Okay. Because when if you're taking a horse to be raced, right, do they get there a couple of days earlier? Are they like athletes? Do they rest? Like they get them a day or two earlier and let them I don't know how it works. Let them sleep for the time or I don't know how it works.
Usually they'll pick out a race. A couple of weeks in advance and then take the horse down there within that time, but usually they're there before 2 to 3 days beforehand.
Okay. Well, now, Sean, how far are you? When are you getting there?
I'm just at Avonmore at the moment, so I'll be in Melbourne in an hour and a bit, and then I'll start delivering these horses to people and waking them up.
And what time will you finish working then?
I should be finished by 6 o'clock. And then I'll have a sleep and then go back up to Sydney tonight.
Oh, geez, that is. And when you're going back to Sydney, will you reload the truck or whatever, the float or whatever it's called? What is it called? Is it called a truck or a float?
Truck.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You reload that and take a load up?
Yep, I'll pick up different horses or I'll pick them up from a depot and take them back up to Sydney and deliver them on the way up and then sleep up there tomorrow and head back down home Wednesday night.
Wow. Sean, that is actually really interesting. Thank you so much for calling us. For everyone else out there, 1-333-53, it's the night shift with Sam Dastiari filling in for Luke Bonner, and we have been taking calls all night on what is the most interesting job. We've had some pearlers of some calls. Feel free to give us a call, 1-333-53. I've got to say, the escort of the escort was probably my favourite so far, but please do. And the other thing we're talking about, that's probably not true. No. We did have what I thought was brilliant, which was the private investigator. If there's another private investigator out there, now I don't know if the private investigators are normally working around 2:30 a.m., but if there's another private investigator out there, I would love to hear from you, 1-333-53. And can I say just who we haven't heard from? I assume there'd be a prison guard who would have called. If there's a prison guard out there, 1-333-53, we want some stories.
We do, and we can keep you anonymous. We can pretend you're somewhere that you're not. We can protect your identity, so please call in.
You can trust me. I used to be a politician.
Oh, no, don't tell lies.
The Triple M Night Shift with Sam Dastiari, filling in for Luke Bonner.